All right, if you would, look once again, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I will try to end this series of messages this morning. Next Sunday we will be in Warm Springs with Brother Steve Garner. I ask y'all to pray for us while we're there. Several weeks ago when I had the opportunity to do the Sunday school lessons for a while, I asked God to give me something that would be beneficial to us. And what He impressed on my heart seemed to me to fit right in with what Brother Mark was and is teaching on Wednesday night, and what the other preachers were preaching at the time. And that just goes to show that God loves us, and He has something for us. He's speaking to our hearts in these days. And it bothers me that so many of God's people are not really getting a message from God in these days. We hear a lot coming from pulpits today that it's coming from men and not from God. And I just want to thank God, and I want to thank you folks for standing on the truth and wanting, I'm talking about wanting to hear truth in these days. And I know that nobody has to tell me that I'm a teacher. I know I'm not a teacher. I have no clue. I don't even know how to start. And I said, I believe it was last week, I don't know how to start, I don't know how to finish, and I don't even know what to do in between those two points. But I try to seek God's will. And as I try to bring this to an end this morning, I want to be a help to you. And I hope God will use this message this morning to speak to all of our hearts. I began with this series of messages I entitled The Inclination for Declension, which basically is the tendency to fall away. And we all have that tendency within us to grow cold on God. I began speaking about the unbended knee, about our prayer life and how much we need to stay on our knees before God, seeking God's will for our lives in these dark days. And then I tried to speak for a little while on the unopened Bible, this is one of the most important things a child of God can do, is to stay in the Word of God, allowing God to speak to him. We speak to God on our knees in prayer, and God speaks to us through the Word of God. And then I tried to speak for a little while on unattended church. And it's amazing how we can come within these doors and sit on these pews, and we still have not come to God. We can come to church, but we need to do more than that. We need to come to church prepared to meet our God, wanting God to meet with us. Church is another means of grace God has provided for us. And then I tried to speak for a little while on the unconcerned disposition within our hearts, our lack of concern for the lost. and especially those of our own house, our household, our families. And then last week I tried to speak for a little while on an unmeditative mind and not keeping our mind stayed on God and allowing God to lead us and guide us and speak to our hearts. Let our minds continuously chew the cud, so to speak, and find God in His Word. And this morning I want, there's so many more. I probably have 10 more points that we could speak on. And I know some of these could have been rearranged and put in a different order, but I want to end it this morning with unbelieving believers. Unbelieving believers. I will not read the 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4 as I normally did. I want to read, if you would look with me this morning in the book of Mark, chapter number 9. I want to read these verses to you, and I want to try to speak to us this morning on the subject of unbelieving believers. Mark 9. And let's see, let's begin reading in verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child crieth out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Unbelieving believers. It's amazing how we as the people of God can live our lives in such an unbelieving state. The faith that God gave us to bring us to salvation came from God. It did not come from us. In order for us to be saved, we had to have faith given to us by God Himself. Faith cometh, Book of Romans says. Jude tells us that faith once delivered unto the saints. We did not have faith. It came to us. God delivered it to us. And we as the people of God were saved by grace through faith. But we don't live our lives the majority of time believing that God is in control of every aspect of our lives. You let tragedy come into our lives. You let some unexpected event pop up in our lives. Do we immediately fall down on our knees and ask God to help us? We should, But I must admit that many times the first thing I do is look to self. It seems to me that most of the times we go to God last. When we have used every means to help ourselves, then we go to God when it fails. Isn't it amazing how believers are so unbelieving in the way we live our lives? In this day and time in which we live that we have been reading about in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and chapter 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, the book of Jude, 2 Thessalonians, we are in the last days. We can expect hard times. The Bible tells us that we are in the last days. Today, this day, right now, is August 23rd, 2015. And we are in a crisis. We're in the last days. Perilous times have come. They have come. They're here. Men are lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud. Men are without natural affection. It doesn't say they're going to be. They are. It's here now. Men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Men have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. It is because man has chosen to walk after the course of this world that this world is in the state that it's in now. It's here now. We as God's people live and breathe every day in this atmosphere. To survive the crisis of this world, we must become strong and ever-increasing in our trust in God to deliver us from this present evil world. To have our faith strengthened, we must come to the realization that God and God alone is to be trusted. Self-reliance only leads to misery and failure. God led Israel through the wilderness for 40 years, proving to them that they could trust Him to take care of them. This Bible is jammed full of experiences that God placed His people in to show us that He can be trusted. For 40 years, God led the children of Israel. For 40 years, He gave them water to drink. For 40 years, He fed them. For 40 years, God protected the nation of Israel. For 40 years, God was proving to them that He could be trusted. God did this by putting them in situations that were humanly impossible to get out of. When they came to the end of themselves, then God proved to them that He could be relied on to take care of them, and that's exactly what God is still doing in this day and time. Brother, tell me what happened in your life was not an accident. You probably still don't fully understand what took place and why. But God, in His mercy and in His grace and in His wisdom, chose to allow you to go through what you're still going through now. Because God has something He wants you to see. And you could not see it otherwise. Even today, God still works the same way. We who have been saved by grace through faith are oftentimes very faithless in the way we live. Therefore, God uses trials and troubles and difficulties, sicknesses, to bring us to a place where we see our helpless estate and allow God once again to increase our faith, to strengthen our weak faith, and then to encourage our doubting faith. Just as surely as God had to bring us to the end of ourselves for salvation, He still and is bringing us to the end of ourselves for sanctification as well. This is an ongoing process. This is an everyday process. And we being human beings, God has to go sometimes to drastic means and drastic ends to get our attention and to bring us to the place where He wants us to be, where He can show us what He wants us to see. It was impossible for Israel to cross the Red Sea on their own. I mean, think. I have read where there's several million people came out of Egypt. Let's just say that it was 2 million. If it was just 2 million people, it was impossible for one man to lead and take care and provide for that number of people. But God, through Moses, did that for 40 years. 2 million people. When they came out of the land of Egypt, one of the first trials they faced was the Red Sea itself. I mean, here they were. God brought them to a place where mountains on both sides, they could not go this way, they could not go that way, they could not go forward because there was the Red Sea right before them. They could not turn around and go back because there come Pharaoh and his army. God placed them in a place that was impossible for them to be delivered. But in that impossibility, God delivered them. It was impossible for the nation of Israel to cross this Jordan that the Bible speaks of in the book of Joshua. It says this Jordan. You see, the Jordan wasn't just a little creek. The Jordan River at that time was in flood stage. Impossible to cross at that time. But God in His sovereignty and in His power saw fit to bring that river to a stop and allow the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land. It was impossible, but not with God. It was impossible for the nation of Israel to drive out all of the fortified inhabitants of the land. It was impossible for them to do that, but it wasn't impossible for God. In the New Testament, it was impossible for the man with the withered hand to stretch it forth, but that's exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. Have you ever realized that? He had a withered hand. It could not move. He could not move it, and that's exactly what God asked him to do. Stretch it forth. Stretch it forth. He couldn't do it. It was impossible. But not for God. It was impossible for the impotent man to get up and to walk. But that's exactly what the Lord Jesus told him to do. Rise up and walk. It wasn't impossible for God. It was impossible for Lazarus to come forth from the tomb. He was dead. Dead at 4 o'clock in the morning, he was dead. It was impossible. But not for God. It was impossible for Peter to walk on the water, but he did it. Because God allowed him to do it. Brother John, go down here at this lake right down here and walk on that water. It's impossible for you to do it. But it's not impossible for God to allow you to do it if He so chooses to do so.
Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. The Bible is full of examples and experiences where God did the impossible. It was impossible for me to live for God. I tried over and over and over again. I tried. It was impossible for me to do it. But it wasn't impossible for God. The sin which is the catalyst of all other sin is found in the very beginning of the history of man. That sin is a word of only two letters. Two letters. No. N-O. God says, do this and you shall live. Adam says, no, I will not. It's amazing. Call it coincidence, whatever. But in my Bible, in this Bible I have right here before me this morning, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17, the Bible says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not. Right across the page, the Bible says, talking about Adam, God says, thou shalt not eat. Right across the page, talking about Adam, and he did eat. God says, thou shalt not. Man says, I will. That sin is the sin of unbelief, of disobedience. That's what unbelief is. It's disobeying God. God tells us to do something and we say, no, we will not do it. We're going to do things our way because I think that I know better how to conduct my life. We don't believe that God can take care of us. We don't believe that God knows exactly what we need. Unbelieving believers. It's a shame that we as God's people live a life full of faithlessness, not trusting God. Unregenerate man does not want to hear, thou shalt not. He doesn't want to hear, no. He doesn't want to be told what he must do. God had given Adam specific instructions as to what he could and could not do, but Adam deliberately chose to disobey God. And we are suffering from the consequences of that, even today. Even as believers, we still are following many times in the footsteps of our father Adam. Faith. The book of Hebrews tells us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, this world wants to live by sight. I mean, if we don't have it in our hands, we don't think that we'll ever get it. If we don't have the means to do something, we don't think we will ever get it done. We want to see it before we act. This world says, show me and I'll believe. But God says, you believe me and I'll show you. God told the impotent man to rise up and walk. That impotent man would still be laying there today
if he had not believed in God? How was he able to believe God? The same way any of us believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are we going to go forth in this dark world in which we live? How are we, as the members of Welcome All Baptists, how are we going to be witnesses for God? Lights shining in this dark world. How are we going to be able to do that? It's through faith. God has given us every means of grace to live a godly life in an ungodly world. Folks, we've got to learn to trust God. Our Lord Jesus, when He was walking on the face of this earth, everywhere He went, everything He did truly amazed humanity. Because they were seeing a man like no other man. They were seeing man as God created him to be and intended for him to be. A man totally dedicated and surrendered to the will of God and trusting God for everything he faced in his life. How are we going to be able to get through our journey through this dark world? It's through faith. But faith has many aspects. There's different levels of faith. There's common faith. There's weak faith, great faith, genuine faith, unwavering faith, little faith, rootless faith, strong faith, and growing faith. But truly there is only one faith. Even though it has many facets, like a diamond. You take that diamond and move it around in the light and it sparkles. That's the way faith is. When God works in our lives, bringing us through difficulties and troubles and trials, He is teaching us that He can be trusted. And as we go through these days, we need to realize that this didn't catch God by surprise. As a matter of fact, God knew it was going to take place. And God is getting us ready for it. He's teaching us how to go through this. And in closing, I just want to remind you something that Jude says in verse number 24. And hold on to this. We're going to need it in these days. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. It's through God and our faith in Him. Not our faith, but God's faith implanted within us. He is able. Isn't that encouraging? That God is able. God can. And God is. And God will bring us through to the other side. Father, I thank You once again for Your help. And I ask You, Lord, to enable us as Your people to trust in You. Lord, when the days are dark, help us to realize, Father, that You are our light and we can trust You. Lord, help us, Lord, when we don't fully understand which way to go. Lord, that You are our guide and You can be trusted to lead us the right way. And Lord, when we come to places and circumstances in our life, we just don't know what to do. We don't have a clue as to how to handle a situation. Help us, Lord, to trust in You, knowing, Father, that You know everything. Help us, Lord, to honor You and to praise You even in the dark days and trust You to bring us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.